Blind Cool Tech, number 12, June 16th, 2005. We have got a really interesting show for you today. We are in the studios at American Printing House for the Blind, talking with Steve Mullins, the assistant studio director, and we're going to show you how we actually create digital talking books.
It's all right.
Hey, Larry.
How are you?
Oh, coming down to visit now.
Now that all the work's done.
Exactly.
This is Carol Stewart, the studio director. We're doing a podcast, Carol.
That's pretty exciting.
It's very cool. We're going to show our listeners how we make digital talking books.
Fantastic.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Uh-huh.
And Carol has an iPod, so maybe she'll subscribe to our podcast.
Absolutely. Where do I go? Where do I sign up?
Well, I'll tell you and these people, too. You go to www.aph.org/tech/bct for blindcooltech.htm. And there's a link on there that you can, you have to download Podcatcher software. Well, actually, you can just click on them and listen to them right on your computer, but the cool way to do it is with Podcatcher software, and it automatically puts them over to your iPod. Whenever there's a new one, it just automatically puts it over.
Wow.
Very awesome stuff.
You guys.
We're just too much, aren't we?
Indeed. As I often say.
Okay, well, Larry, here we are.
Okay. Steve, you want to introduce yourself? And
Steve Mullins at the American Printing House. I supervise proofreaders, both studio and braille, and mastering and a few other odds and ends. Right now we're standing in front of Studio 2, and there's actually two rooms. The room in the front is occupied by a monitor. Not a computer monitor, but a person we call a monitor, and also a computer monitor, too. The monitor has a copy of the book, and they've got their computer, and they're recording directly on the computer. The other room is, in that other room is a reader. It's Madeline Bizard in this case, and she obviously has a copy of the book, and she's reading while the monitor follows along the text and monitors the recording levels and to make sure the pronunciation is right, and all that other good stuff that goes into making a really accurate talking book. The monitor is Rebecca White, and the reader is Madeline Bizard. And yeah, she's down there in a little metal box, which she's decorated. She's got like some pictures on the wall and stuff. She actually has a multicolored towel. She's bringing in her own towels now, I guess. And the towel is on the desk to kind of deaden the sound. Just listen in as if she's recording.
He muttered, closing the manuscript and handing it back to Polly. Look, do you mind if I make myself some coffee before I try to figure out what she was thinking?
Heartbite.
And I use the word in the loosest possible manner.
So we're looking in a window into the studio, and Steve just pressed a button on the wall where there's speakers so that tourists can come by and listen.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And as I said, they record directly onto the hard drive of the computer, and then it also goes to the network that way. It looks like she's just reading a regular novel. I can't really get a glimpse of the cover from up here, but it's the kind of stuff Madeline does and does well. Of course, we do all kinds of books here, anything from novels to nonfiction to computer manuals to anything and everything.
And now, how many studios do we have here, Steve?
I keep losing count, but right now I think we have 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in each studio, the narrator has a microphone and a control box, right?
That's true. That is true. The monitor has a control box, and the reader has a control box, and it both allows them to basically control some of the recording. They can cut in, they can back up, they can stop the recording, anything they need to do. And it works out really well because oftentimes a reader will, almost as they're saying the words, they'll realize they've made a mistake. So they can immediately back up and cut in and read that line again.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this just interfaces to the back of the PC, in this case through the serial ports, and I should tell the listeners.
Yeah.
And we're actually using a program that primarily Rob Meredith, who you met the other day, wrote called Studio Recorder. we're using that here, and that's a product of ours as well.
Yeah, a few years ago, I remember when we first started going over to digital, we all got together, me and you and Carol and Johnny Zinniger, our tech, mm-hmm. and all kinds of people, and we sat down and talked about what we really needed to make the transition, and you and Rob and your guys did it, wrote it all.
Yeah. Remember it well. That was March 2000, actually.
It's been a long ago. Yeah. You remember the dates. So I think it's been this many years or that many years, and the dates all kind of run together. And, of course, every time we come up with a little something we think would improve it, it gets improved.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know how thorough you want me to be, but anyway, she's got also on the monitor side, she has, textbooks, and I think it's Bruce.
It's a fellow from the work release program.
It is.
They let me out. Hey, Bruce.
Yes, sir.
Would you mind saying hi? This is Bruce Hunty. We're actually doing a podcast for the about the studios here at APH, and you're a celebrity.
Oh,
so,
my goodness. Well, hello from the basement.
This is Bruce Hunty, one of the narrators who I'm sure all of you know.
Standing by the Wall of Fame here with everyone's
That's
picture.
Right.
Exactly.
Famous readers here.
Pre-digital.
Absolutely.
We're pre-digital.
That's right. They're actually analog. They're real people.
Just Mary people. Robinson.
We wouldn't be anywhere without the listeners, right?
Two, yeah.
Exactly.
Five,
well, thanks, Bruce.
Do it all for you.
Good
Hello
seeing
everyone.
You, man.
Thank you.
So let's walk them down and we'll get you started. This is sort of the beginning of the process. I looked up the part about the books actually come in. The majority of the stuff we do really comes on contract from the National Library Service, and they send in the books. And the monitor and the reader take a look at them and set them up, and they start the recording. And then while they're recording, or when they finish the book, it needs to be proofed, because we proof everything 100% to make sure all the pronunciations are correct, all the words are there, everything is where it should be. So it goes to a proofreader, which is right in here. Here's Michael.
Hey, Michael.
How you doing?
Great. How are you, buddy?
He's doing
She's
it.
Bad.
I'm doing
Those
a
damn sevens.
Oops, you just turned my G-rated podcast into an X-rated one. Oh, well, if you're under 21, don't listen to Michael. we're doing a podcast, and I'd like to... people are really interested in how these digital talking books are made here, and Michael is up to his elbows. Are you?
That's the next big thing, isn't it?
It really is.
That's what Larry was just telling me. He's just going to replace radio.
Sometime when you get a chance, go check out aph.org/tech/BCT for blindcooltech.htm and give you some info, and you can listen to this show with you as the star.
So I'm giving us just a quick overview. As it's being recorded, they're also the monitor is dropping in marks, which will indicate where headings and notes and other things will be. It then goes to the proofreader, who, while they're proofing along for mistakes in pronunciation and those sort of things, they are also checking the marks.
And just to give you all a little more detail about these marks, this is also done in Studio Recorder, and these are just regular audio marks that actually any audio recording software will make. And what Michael or one of the proofreaders does is to, when there's a heading, he'll, according to what level heading it is, he'll drop a mark that we call marks 1 through 6, and they're just, you just press the 1 through the 6 on the keyboard in Studio Recorder. And then you, at the end of the heading, what do you use? Are we using generic or paragraph mark now? I've forgotten.
At the end of the heading?
Yeah.
Using generic.
Is it generic? Okay.
Speak up. Be on the air.
And then we actually, our books, we don't mark up to the paragraph level normally, except for we did the verbal view of Windows XP that was done at the paragraph level. That was a nightmare.
The more marks you get, the harder it does progressively get, simply because you got a lot of marks to take care of. That's what Michael was commenting on when we came in, wasn't it? All these
something like that.
All these
a glossary.
A glossary. Every item. Well, I don't know. You know this. So every item in the glossary has to have a segment.
Yeah.
Or an index. So you get a lot of
And this allows the readers, like in the glossary, to in their reading software, to be able to skip from item to item in the glossary, like you never could do with tape, of course.
Yeah, right.
And
you get a book with a lot of items in a glossary, or a lot of recipes with a lot of things. You get a lot of marks flying, so we have to really be careful and make sure that they're all there. It's a very thorough job.
Now, Mike, you. You get your books off the server, I guess, and they're right now we're recording them. What, like a side of a cassette is a file? Are we still doing that?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Because we still are, of course, are making both a cassette and Michael's being called away. So it's important. Stepping out, he'll be back. We can always, Robert's over here too, in case we hit a snag.
Hey, Robert.
Hello.
Yeah, because right now we're for the National Library Service, we're still making both the cassette and the DTV, so the sides all have to be recorded, just like cassette sides.
Okay.
And anyway, to give you the quick overview, after they write up the corrections, they go back, the monitor and the reader, correct their mistakes. And then it comes back to the proofreader again, who is in charge of actually producing the digital talking book that goes out.
Okay. And do you do that? You do that too, right, Robert?
Oh, Robert does hundreds of them.
Hundreds of
DTVs.
Oh man. Yeah.
Would you mind describing that process for us?
The building the DTV.
Yeah.
Have you already covered any of it?
No.
Other than the fact that marks are dropped by the monitor and,
basically the first thing you do is correct all the marks, nudge them a little here or there if they need to be a little closer to the phrase, or make sure they're the right kind of mark in the right place. And then you get your OPF file from the server and put it in the folder with your audio files and open it up into the Book Wizard Producer, and then you go through a series of steps to identify your nav points and make labels for your navigation headings, and if you have notes, there's steps you take to make the notes skippable and escapable and different things according to what NLS wants. Run it through the build the distribution copy and validate it, and pretty much done.
And that process takes how long, approximately?
Just really depends on the book.
Yeah.
A straightforward novel with relatively few marks can take 15-20 minutes tops.
Okay.
And then, spend a couple hours on a more involved book, an afternoon even, depending on.
Yeah.
Especially when you get into, now that we have to, type in the nav labels and that we have all the text parts associated with it now, it can take a lot longer.
Okay. What's the most complicated book you've ever done?
I did that. Unless you want to count the verbal Windows XP.
Oh, that we did mention that was a nightmare.
But other than that, I'd say for us, mostly cookbooks seem to be the biggest headache, because you get into page numbers and individual items in the recipe and things like that.
Yeah.
Page numbers have to be made skippable and escapable, and of course, like I said, all those segments you have to go through.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that one Amy did? How many marks did she have? 4,000 or something?
Wow.
Side book. Yeah. So that's a lot of marks. That's a good overview, Robert.
Very good.
It's simple. The way you explained it, it's like, whoa, how much you pull a rabbit out of a hat?
Set my fingers and it's done.
And it really does depend on the book. He's right. I mean, some of these books, three marks, opening, and closing, that's it,
quickly. Yeah, just like a straight novel.
Yeah.
And we've done, what have we done, about 1,000 DTBs for NLS?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was joking when I said they've done hundreds. I would think probably everybody, all the proofers have at least done a couple hundred each.
Wow.
At this point, yeah. Pretty close to it, 150 or 200.
So I guess we should tell people that National Library Service is planning on launching these DTBs in 2008, and they're trying to build up a library before they do that.
Yeah, it's going to be like 10,000 titles is their plan.
Okay.
Some of it is the stuff that we're recording now, and some of it is they're taking older books, and we're converting the tapes to digital and making DTBs out of those.
Hmm. And we do that here too as well, right?
Yep. If we do that here.
Pretty much same process, I guess?
Well, except actually the monitor and the reader have nothing to do with that. You know, it gets, we'll go down the hallway to mastering, and that's sort of where it begins, because that's where they're taking the tapes and converting them to digital, putting them on the server, and then the proofreader picks them up and goes through and puts in the marks and builds the DTV.
And how do you convert them to digital, Steve?
Well, I'll walk down to mastering and I'll show you how it's done.
All right. Thank you, fellas.
Thanks a lot.
Take it easy.
You too. So that was just a regular office with, a couple computers in it?
I should have described it a little bit. It was just like a small office. There were two people and three computers in there. Because they proof from the computer, obviously. So sometimes they'll be proofing, you know, and they'll also have a spare computer where they'll run DTVs. That's a great thing about BookWizard Producer is, you know, you set it up and you start encoding, and then it's just a walk-away job after that. You know, you code and come back and it's done.
Started on the building the book process.
Yeah.
I should mention, too, that BookWizard Producer is also a product of American Printing House for the Blind.
It's
in beta still. You can check it out. It's aph.org/beta.
I bet it's made more DTVs than any other program.
I would say so.
We are cranking them out.
And we're going into another room here. And describe this room for us, Steve. This is an interesting place.
Okay, this is mastering, and there's Debbie Allgood.
Hey, Debbie.
Over there.
Hi,
all right.
There are generally two people that work in here, and let me count how many computers we have. What's the track? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You got more than I have in my office.
What is that? 2.1 or 2.2 per capita, or something like that. But and generally, often all of them are going on at the same time. They have the computers, of course, are also connected to CD burners and duplicators, and some are connected to tape machines.
Okay.
Just to give you an overview of what we were talking about before with the books and how they come out of the studio, once the DTV is made and the book is finished finished in the studio, it comes to mastering, and the library service, National Library Service, we have to send them a copy of the book. And so right now they want that on CD. So we send them up a CD for every side of the book. And then we send up a CD that contains the complete digital talking book, complete DTV.
Okay.
And so that's part of what they're doing is they're just, you know, burning, well, I should say just what they're doing is they're also sort of checking things. They're checking, you know, the files, the DTVs, making sure that looks good, and then they're burning those CDs and patching them so they'll go up to the Library of Congress.
So this is kind of the final QC here in mastering?
Yeah, right. They, and they catch a lot. They pick up on a lot of things.
They do.
You know that for
unfortunately,
a fact.
Yeah. I do know that.
They're key. They've got good ears, you know. It's the software and everything makes it easy to make the DTVs, but, you know, there's a lot of little things, you know, to catch. You know, when we talk about things we haven't gone into about, you know, all the fields, you know, some of the fields you have to input and, you know, all the checks. And so the Library of Congress is very demanding, too, about everything, which is good. I mean, I guess it makes sure a good product gets out. On one wall over here to our right are four tape machines. I was recording all this for a podcast.
For a what?
A podcast.
What's that?
It's what's going to replace radio. It's you subscribe to shows on the internet, and it automatically downloads them to your MP3 player. Then you just listen to them. It's sort of like a DVR, like a TiVo for radio, kind of.
Yeah.
And so you can just delete them if you get a really boring one or skip commercials or whatever.
Hoping to skip this one.
No, everybody's going to be glued to this one.
Okay. Over on this wall where Debbie is, there are four tape machines, and what we have is we have two track tapes that were recorded. Some of these are old. I mean, they're sending some tapes that are probably, gosh, I don't know, 30 years old or so. I've heard Alexander Scorby and all kinds of people.
Is that right?
Yeah, and some of them are not in good shape, and so, you know, we do what we can.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is, of course, we take these tapes and we run them through a piece of software into a computer where they become a digital WAV file.
And can you talk about that software and
software,
the equipment you're using?
Yeah. I mean, the scenes we're using are Studio Revox over the tape machines. The software is actually made by Telex. It's the EDAT system, and it has a good interface, and just simply allows you to dump in at 4x speed the audio, the analog tape. Like I said, it originally makes a digital file. At that point, they have to go back in, and we do some signal processing, which basically means we have another bit of software. We can go in and take out some of the hisses and the pops and the cracks and all that, and do a little EQing to make it sound better, you know.
Okay.
And
now these masters that you get, these are on reel-to-reel tapes.
Yes, they're reel-to-reel.
Are they just one? I mean, it's not like four-sided.
No, it's two-track.
It is two-track.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this EDAT splits them up for us and everything?
Yeah, yeah, it does. Okay. It does what it needs to do. It works well.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so we take that, they clean it up. This is what I was talking about. It goes back to the proof here, because that gets put on our server. And this is only on the analog to digital ones that we mm-hmm. call. It goes on our server. The proofreader then will pick that book up. They'll access those files, I should say. And they'll go in and drop the marks for the headings, mm-hmm. and then they'll build the DTB, and they move it back onto the DTB onto the server, and then that goes up to NLS also for the same kind of check that the regular books do.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why we still have this row of tape machines right here, and I think we'll continue doing that for a while because NLS has a lot of books, and it makes sense. They've got a lot of good books and stuff,
yeah.
And why? You know, why get somebody recording when they've got a lot of excellent recordings out there of a lot of good narrators?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, you hear all these people, you know, like I said, Blast from the Past, Alexander Scorby and Art Metzler and, mm-hmm. you know, Randy Atcher and people I haven't heard in years,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So there's also a smaller four-track tape machine over there because NLS is still requiring a what they call a tape intermaster, so that has to go to them, and hopefully we'll be done with this soon. I think they're talking about eliminating that within us.
Now, what is a tape intermaster?
A tape intermaster is a four-track tape. This is a little odd because over there we were taking the analog and converting to digital. Here we're taking the digital file we have of our books and making a four-track tape of it. And what it is there's a place in Cincinnati, Ohio called Multistates, and they would keep a copy of this tape. It's kind of like a safety copy.
Okay.
And if somebody years from now, you know, they lost, you know, had all the cassettes and all, they could take this tape and make a new master from it.
I see.
But my understanding is that, you know, with tape getting harder to find and machines, you know, wearing out because, you know, tape is a dying medium,
mm-hmm.
that they'll be eliminating that soon, and we'll just be supplying with the digital file, and they'll have a digital system
okay.
to take care of that.
And I guess there's even some talk about libraries making DTBs on demand as people order them. Even.
Well, I don't know. I've heard all kinds of things about what they're going to be doing in the future. I've heard that, you know, libraries may be doing it, like this flash memory thing, and maybe all these DTBs may be sitting on a big server somewhere, and you know you'll be able to just download at home, or maybe the libraries will download it for you, or even.
That would be cool to
yeah.
be able to access it directly.
or it could be that, you know, in a way it'll be similar to what we're doing now with cassettes, except instead of getting a cassette, you'll be getting a flash memory card, mm-hmm. and you'll plug that in, you know. So I suspect it may end up being a combination of all the above for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be a transition as they phase out
sure.
tapes. And
Do you know how many patrons NLS has? Is it?
I could make a. You know, I really don't know offhand. I know that we send out Talking Book Topics, which is just like a catalog. And do you recall how many copies they make of Talking Book Topics, Denise?
I think it was like 86,000.
Yeah.
Wow, is that right?
And I'm sure there's more than that. That's just the people who want the catalog of books. The Talking Book Tops is basically a bi-monthly catalog of all the recent titles.
Yeah.
So yeah, 86,000. So I don't know, 100,000 maybe or something.
There.
Yeah.
Well, Denise, do you want to describe anything about what you're doing to these people that are listening to these books that You're part of the process. Yeah, not really. No cussing.
She's too busy doing it to talk about it.
Right.
Because there is a lot going on. We've got, if you look over here, we've got two computers, two CD duplicator burners that are doing. Also got a tester in the middle because we have to test everything. So that's happening right here. Behind you, we've got a tape intermaster running. You've got a, we're doing a revision to the DTBs over here. And that also has a CD burner duplicator. And then, as I said, behind us, you've got the analog to digital thing going. Okay. So there's, it's kind of like a plate spinner. You get all these computers going at the same time. You just, just run around in a circle all day from one to the next.
Okay.
But that's how the, that is in a very brief nutshell is how it's done. Now, at this point, it branches off. I mean, the DTBs go up to NLS, who are going to do whatever they're going to do with them. And the rest of the stuff kind of splits off back over into cassette duplication, where they continue to make the cassettes of the books and the magazines and what have you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else you want to add to it?
If you have any questions, or was I too brief? You want me to expand on anything? Or
well, we'll tell you what. Why don't we, not too expansive at all. We'll get some feedback from the listeners, and if any of you all have any questions, you can drop us a comment on our new comment line at 206-984-9203. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Blind Cool Tech.